This is RSBNB Update, episode 568, recorded Thursday, May 26th, 2016. Kesha is my favorite reggae artist. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update this week. Kindred Spirits is on the docket, but first, of course, Dave is here.
Hello, hello.
And to also discuss Quest Week this week, we do have a relic from RSBNB Update's past.
A relic.
A.K.A. Reed. Oh, I mean,
a relic.
Yeah, compared to what we've been up to for the past 5 months, yeah.
I leave for 5 months, and I'm a relic.
Yeah, it was a different time back then. It's a different time.
Okay.
Yes. So, Quest Week. These weeks are always fun, aren't they?
Fun and long, and not necessarily synonymous. But, yes, fun indeed.
Now, what did we... Let's just get some initial impressions before we get too far down the track here. What did we initially think of this quest going in?
Well, I had just done all of the Meg things, so, and the writing on that was, like, elementary school level.
Oh, yeah.
It was just...
Literally go talk to someone. Oh, here's a lamp.
Well, no, just the dialogue that was there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I sent Shane a screenshot. Let me go find it.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know if everyone else feels the same way about so-called Mega May, but...
Dragonkin, this is very worrying, Meg. These robberies must be connected to something far more serious. It's like, really? That's...
Well, remember, we're dealing with Meg, and we're talking to Meg here, so we need to talk in that kind of childish tone.
True.
And you wondered why... When we were doing ports, I would attempt to kill her on the missions. There were times where I would give her...
No, I didn't wonder why. I knew why.
Okay. All right.
But it was harming yourself in the long run because you didn't get XP from it.
I could subscribe less to the XP waste crowd, but anyways. So... Kindred Spirits is the quest that came out, and as you mentioned, you do need to do up to part 7 of Robber from the Darkness, which a dragonkin is apparently stealing things from places. We find out in the final
piece.
Yeah, was
that even explained?
Not necessarily. Well...
Or was that just Sliske, like, trying to draw my attention?
It was very...
Is that it?
It was very sort of hidden within the quest. Like, it was literally, like, one box or two.
It's like a dialogue box where you mentioned it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But please note that after Mega May has ended, Kindred Spirits will still be accessible without this extra requirement. So it's just a requirement for the month of May. Well, until June 13th.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I was like, how are they going to have a... prerequisite for a monthly event.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people in the future, you miss nothing.
And I think if
literally
anything,
nothing.
This is just an example on their part to try and get us to take part in the Mega May events, because when you think about it, the best you get out of it is a trench coat and a sock puppet chat override pet.
Wait, I got a trench coat?
Well, if you do 10 of the Mega May tasks.
I guess I need to do those, don't I?
Yeah, and at 5, you get the sock puppet.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
I put it in my bank. It's probably never going to leave it.
You could dump it in your...
toy chest?
No, in your little house party pet thing. Whatever it's called. But anyways...
Costume room?
No, the menagerie.
What?
It's a pet, so it can go in the menagerie.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it can go in there with all your birds and Sparkles the Snake, all of the previous event pet overrides and whatnot. But any case, in addition to this Mega May requirement, you also require 60 Herblore agility crafting and smithing, and the quest Missing Presumed Death, which was the first Sliske quest involving death, of course. So, now, putting the Meg stuff aside, you go talk to Linza at the smithy in Burthorpe. What were we expecting going in, Dave?
I was really sort of expecting, well, minus the fact that you're going to Burthorpe, knowing, like, going into this, knowing that we were going to get a Barrow sister, I was expecting, I don't know, I would say a higher level quest, at least something with, you know, some fighting. You know, I was expecting, not like Wild Gothic Sleep Tier, obviously, but, you know, something sort of similar along the lines of maybe a, one of the first Nomad quests or something. I was going into it sort of, you know, feeling like this wasn't going to be a walk in the park, but it wasn't going to be something that was going to take me 4 hours either, so.
All right. How about you, Mr. Earth?
Well, I mean, I'd already asked you, like, what I needed to bring with me, and you just said food, and I was like, but do I not need to do any fighting? And you're like, nope.
No.
So it's like, okay.
And you see exactly why. So do you want to take us through the rundown of the quest, or shall I do that?
All right. So you go to Linza and Berthope, and you talk to her, and she says that Meg and that, what was that old lady's name who I've never spoken to?
Major Mary?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure, her. And Brother Samwell? Is that the guy from, is that the guy over by the Rag and Bone Man mine?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. He was in the last Sliske quest, right?
Yeah, Missing Presumed Not Death, of course, one, because he disappeared right outside the Rag and Bone Man hill.
Yes. And then we went to go speak to the emissary of Sliske and Draenor. And
I thought that was interesting. Get to actually use one of those in a quest.
Yeah. And then she's like, he's gone missing, and she's freaking out. And somehow she knows that he's being held at a Dragonkin prison near Daemonheim.
And lo and behold, that's where our quest begins.
Yeah, you just run down there, and then you go to Daemonheim, and you go a bit around, and there's a very, very conspicuous
trapdoor.
It's not conspicuous, or it's very conspicuous.
Well, I mean, your character says that he didn't notice it when he was there previously, so
yeah. I mean, and then you go in there, and then there's like a cutscene where it's really empty, right? There's nothing in there. Then there's a weird noise, and then you wake up in a cell next to Sliske.
And now the fun begins.
Yee!
You basically get to chat with Sliske, and you need to figure out how to stage a prison break. So you go through all the old methods in the book, I think, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now,
you just have to do a puzzle, and you can talk to him after each thing, and he'll tell you what you need to do.
Okay.
Then that's after you escape, and then
I actually just want to say that the first part of this quest, when it was initially released, the items that you needed to break out of the prison were invisible, so you had to kind of click around in your inventory. So thankfully that was fixed.
That's impressive, QA.
I know. Apparently it was only an issue with the NXT game client. So that was...
Why would anyone not be using that?
I don't know, and I have a note on that later to talk about. There's an interesting bit of dialogue that I want to go to before we start the actual puzzle or game bit. Basically, Sliske needs to seduce the Dragonkin, And here's what he says. Your scales look fantastic. Do you come here often? Are dungeons your thing?
Do you identify as scaly?
Yes, that's the one.
I lost it at that part. And that and how you doing?
So,
I very much enjoyed the part before that. Or I was like, if you don't come here, I'm going to start singing. And
oh, yeah.
I have great endurance and a voice that can be, that can only be described as piercing or something.
Yeah. And then obviously after, you know, we make a little poisonous bomb thing using the acid from the lactern. And then we use that to break off the lock. And then
latrine?
Yes. Well, I called it a lactern.
What is that?
I thought that's what it was called.
What?
Fair enough.
That's not what it was called.
It's a latrine.
Oh, I read it as lactern.
Lactern.
Okay, glossing over that.
And then, okay, I'll let you continue from here on in.
So but you don't embarrass yourself.
Well, no, I'm not embarrassed. I just wanted to point out the identifying as a scaly and the little thing we had to make to get out.
Yeah, so you melt the you do some science and shit, and you you make some sort of compound that's able to melt the lock. And you go out, and you get Sliske to distract the dragonkin or something, and then you pickpocket him.
And
or
then...
No. You get Sliske to antagonize the dragonkin, then you pickpocket him and
get the key and then get him
the
out.
Key or something, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But this was all, of course, a ruse.
Mm-hmm.
Which is for the
and
reason.
Apparently it was just a trap. Yeah. And he wasn't really
actually imprisoned there. And see, this is where this quest takes an interesting turn, because you have to ask yourself, of course, why would Sliske be doing this? But then, oh, you remember that, oh, this guy is the jester, and he actually obviously has a different purpose than everything else that he's saying. So you can't take what he's saying at face value. But we'll talk more about Sliske's character later. I think he gets a lot more interesting, perhaps confusing, as we move on. But anyways.
Yeah.
So what happened next? Oh, he just tells you that it's a game, and then if you win, you get the Staff of Armadil. And then, of course your character protests, so he kills Brother Samwell.
Which was surprising, but I mean,
he didn't need him anymore.
Yeah, he's not needed. But the game is actually a way for you to try and free the Barrows Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I guess you could call it their imprisonment that he's put them in.
Yeah, the curse or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you start with Darok, you basically enter a fight pit, and then you basically need to... What did you guys do for the options? Because at the end...
I don't understand the question.
Because ultimately you end up in the case that you need to just say to Darok, just let these people kill you, and then...
Yeah, that was the one I did.
Yeah. I tried the other ones first, and obviously they didn't work. So you guys went for the kill one straight off the bat?
Yep.
I tried the defending one, and then he's like, these guys suck so much that sometimes just parrying kills them.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. I did that one as well. Forgot about that.
Well, you did say you did all of them, Shane.
Yes. Yeah, true. Very true. So after this, he is freed in a certain sense. Now, did you guys think that at the end of this quest that they would be totally free or not?
Oh, I mean, I doubted it because, yeah. You know, Sliske, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, you kind of need to second guess everything that Sliske is saying in the quest like this because that's just who he is.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, honestly, like, I can't say it was much of a surprise after he said, oh, just kidding, this is all just, like, I mean, you're within the Shadow Realm, and then it's, like, a shadow within the Shadow Realm. So it's, like, a double, like, sort of trick, I guess, or deception. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. So,
it's
kind of
like,
yeah, it's
like this one Star Trek episode where it was a holodeck within a holodeck. I don't know if anyone's ever watched that out there, but it's impossible to tell reality from not reality.
Yeah. Except for when it is.
Yes, and isn't that some quote by a young kid?
Maybe.
Okay.
What?
I thought that was one of those Jaden Smith quotes.
Oh, gosh.
How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real, Shane?
There you go, there you go. Anyway, so after Darhuk, we're on to...
Shane loves Jaden Smith.
We're on to Aram, and he's in a maze that he can't get out of. Now, this is where the quest got really interesting for me. You basically need to get to the center of the maze, and that will free him. But as you're moving through the maze, there's options of either hurting Aram or hurting one of the prisoners. And, of course, the prisoners being Meg, Linza, and Major Mary. So, now, I am going to say right off the bat that during this quest, I took every potential opportunity that existed to be given the chance to kill Meg. So,
typical Shane.
So for the entire course of the maze, I went options that would hurt the prisoners, but unfortunately they didn't die. Meg didn't die because of that. And it should be noted that regardless of whether or not you go the way that is going to hurt Aram, or you go the way that hurts everyone else, you will eventually get to the center.
Yes.
So.
This was by far the most frustrating part of the quest for me because it's a good design given the fact of your circumstances being in, you know, Sliske's sort of convoluted deception. Every single time I tried to convince Aram to hurt himself, and I chose what I thought would convince him or do the latter, and he did the opposite every single time and hurt somebody else. And I was getting so, like, frustrated with it. And you know, I was actually getting mad to the point where it's like, okay, I figured out where to go, and I was like, okay, I go over the vent. It's like, okay, I need to hurt him. And I tried to convince him, and I, you know, first I tried insulting him. That didn't work. Then I said, you know, you're better than this. Da-da-da. Every single time I said Aram needs to be hurt, he's like, yeah, just kidding. I'm not doing that. I'll hurt someone else. I'm like, what the hell? You know, it was really frustrating. So I'm not sure if that was the way it's supposed to be or what it was, but that's kind of that was my experience.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's designed so that he can't hurt himself because we learn a little bit more about something that he was involved with once we get to the center. So I think that kind of explains why he couldn't hurt himself. And when he gets to the center, you basically realize that he, once upon a time, had was protecting Guthan by killing one of Guthan's so-called schoolyard girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, damn. That's...
Yeah, because Aram felt that the girl was too much trouble for Guthan and it wouldn't lead him on the right path, so he just killed him and he covered it up.
No, he killed her.
Yes, that's what I mean. Killed her and covered it up. So
slight difference there.
Well, yeah, of course. And, I mean, that is a really substantial thing to reveal in this quest, I think. Unless it was revealed before. I'm not entirely up on my Barrow's lore. Colton, you can correct me if I'm wrong out there. I know you listen to this.
I don't think they would have focused on it so much if it had been known widely, but of course I could be wrong.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, basically at the end of this, Aram and Guthan kind of make up after this, and
he makes him forget.
Yeah, yeah, forget.
that's completely different.
Well, I mean, he forgets it, but I mean, at the beginning, it kind of seemed like they were going to patch things over, but if he had to make him forget, then I guess that's kind of a way of patching things up.
That he made him
forget. Yeah, he did. He promised. You're right.
You know, it's Liske, so.
He erased the memory, and he specifically said he was doing that. Yeah, yeah. So that's Aram put aside, and then the next one is Varak, which is interesting. Interesting little sequence here, don't you think?
Yeah. I just went until I got the repeated dialogue, and then I was like, oh, all right, got to do the other thing.
Yeah. Basically, we find out that Varak is torn between which god to support, either Ceridoman or Zamorak. So if he released the Zamorak key, he will be, of course, following Ceridoman. And he has so much value and faith towards Ceridoman that he has the Ceridoman key inside of him to make a point that, okay, I support Ceridoman so much that I could not release this lock and fall into the hands of Zamorak, but no.
Well, no, Shane, it's symbolic.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Of course it's symbolic.
Not what you said.
But you do actually need to go inside Varak and get that key. So that's
you need to cut him open and reach in and get it.
Yeah.
And let's say that.
And that's why I said it wasn't necessarily fully symbolic in that it's actually a physical thing, but you summarize it quite well in that regard. And obviously how many so you just went until the dialogue was exhausted with that?
Yeah, until it started repeating dialogue with the Zamorak key, getting the Zamorak key.
Yeah,
I was like, Zamorak okay. After
working.
Like the second time, I figured, mm-hmm. All right, I know what's going on, but this quest has been funny so far, so let's see what happens. Yeah.
You know, that torture sequence was something that could have actually happened right out of 24. There was a similar scene like that on 24 once.
What torture sequence?
Well, I mean, not necessarily torture, but you know, cutting someone open to get something inside of them.
Okay.
So this was could have been very gruesome if it was acted out in live action.
All right, I'll give that one to you.
Yeah, and I never thought I'd see that kind of level of brutality in a RuneScape quest, to be honest.
I mean,
yeah, that was a little. I had the sounds on too. I was like, wow. All right. Well, I was a little surprised
because each time you put your hand deeper into the cavity. It had different text describing what was going on and what you felt as you moved in and the pain he was feeling. So, yeah. I don't know. I kind of like that part. They put that much detail into it. That's not something you would have seen in a RuneScape quest previously.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And with that being said, I'm not, you know, necessarily condoning brutality or anything like that on the piece of Varak, but I'm just saying it's an interesting mechanic. That's all. So. And then finally after this, you enter Sliske's laboratory. And this, for me, is where the quest really begins, I think, eh?
Yeah.
Well, for me, it began, like, when that little pop-up came up.
Well.
It said, accept quest, and I clicked accept. That's when it started for me.
Okay. I think this part is the most like lower heavy part.
Yeah.
Where a lot of stuff started getting explained.
Yeah, this is the part right before the climax of the quest. That's for sure.
And then we die, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, you could if you don't get out in time. You could. But there's a little inside joke there for anyone who's been following along this week on the RSBNB gaming sessions. But anyways, you find four books and you see a cutscene of Sliske. So, I assume you read all the books, yeah, both of you?
Yeah.
I did not read through them. I just picked them up to further in the quest.
Oh, Dave. You are totally missing the point of this quest. But that's okay. So there was one book that detailed events in the Sixth Age and Sliske's attempt to ascend to godhood and his observations of the World Guardian. There was another one that just contained ramblings of his. And there was another one that followed his quest to try and find a very powerful, godlike sea creature named Zautak. And I forget what the fourth book was called, but...
There was A Visit to an Old Friend, Sliske's Ramblings, Death at Sea, and The Divine Delusion.
Perhaps The Divine Delusion, then, but...
That one was the one about the soul.
Oh, okay, that's it, then. I didn't get much out of that one.
Same.
But, of course, the two biggest ones are his, maybe his ramblings, but definitely bigger is his perceptions of the Sixth Age and you, the World Guardian, and his hunting down of Zautak. So, now.
Who's this Nabor guy?
I don't exactly know. I don't know. I'm
is
not
he just a
not
sailor?
Sure. Yeah, I think
that's
I think
what
so.
It seemed
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But, so basically, in the book detailing the Sixth Age, he says that he's going to attempt to ascend to godhood by killing Guthix, and obviously that doesn't work. And he notes that power was bestowed upon some person to make them the World Guardian, and they are immune to elder artifacts and the effects of gods, and that really fascinated him. So, now, I...
So, in the Death at Sea one, the crazy guy in the asylum said, "Do you really think you can save them, Lord Earth, or whatever your player name is? You can't. The spiral of time leads only to the gaping maw of eternity, and this is Zautak."
Yeah.
So, and this was... a while ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Long
and
time
then
ago.
At the end it says the majority of pages following this, like there's some other stuff after that, but it says the majority of pages following this are blank aside from a single entry containing your date of birth. Lord Earth, really? Is this the key at last? I must watch and see.
Mm-hmm. So I honestly think that Sliske has been underestimated this entire time. He basically, I think, gave up the idea of ascending to godhood after the world wakes and just became enamored with you and this sea creature. And he wants some combination of you and the sea creature to help him out.
Oh boy, I'm going to be...
Yeah.
Or a merman or
something. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it could be. But, I mean, I think that that is the way he wants to focus around consolidating power, something to deal with you and the sea creature. I don't know.
Pretty great.
Well, yes, and we all are to a degree, right? But
not as great as me, bud.
Okay. And I see your I see your modesty hasn't changed. So, I think that that's where this quest line is ultimately going to be going, and this was further exemplified to me by the cutscene that we saw. What did you guys think of the cutscene?
Well, where he just beat the shit out of us?
No. The cutscene that dealt with the Stone of Jazz cutscene.
What?
The Stone of Jazz cutscene?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, you search the little
the globe thing.
The little globe type space device and you get a cutscene.
Where he was talking to that person.
Yeah, the mysterious individual.
And he said, I am
born to serve or whatever.
Yeah, born to serve.
Yep.
So
do we know who that voice was?
It seemed to me to be an elder god.
Yeah.
You guys think an elder god then?
Did you not?
No, I was thinking more along the lines of Zaros.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because...
Interesting.
Why would the Elder Gods take an interest in Sliske of all people? And if they were to do something like this and they woke up, the ones that were on Gelenor, we were told that when they wake up, they're not going to be happy. They will destroy the place. So that's why I don't think it's an Elder God, personally. And putting it in Zaros' camp would go right along with, you know, Zaros' MO.
Manipulating everything. Yeah.
So if Zaros can manipulate Sliske to...
Because Sliske did incite the... It's kind of a god war.
Yeah, or the basically the sixth age Sliske started. So if Zaros can control Sliske, and then Sliske is told, you know, to look out for Zautak and us, the World Guardian, and we are already kind of on a similar parallel path to Zaros and working with Zaros as we did in Fate of the Gods for his own needs. That would basically mean he's got two people working to satisfy similar fronts, Zaros does. And as a result of that, I think that would be an interesting way to kind of go into the next couple quests in this series. And the other thing that puts me that it was Zaros is that we have a quest coming out in this series, the next one, the penultimate quest, and it's called Fate of the Gods 2.
Oh, is it?
Yes. So that is why I think it is Zaros, and I ultimately do think that that is going to be the direction that this quest line ends up taking before it reaches the climax in the final quest.
And then we die.
Yep, we could very well, or numerous gods could, you know? And, I mean, I think that there are other hypotheses out there, like, for instance, the Great Brassican hypotheses, which does have some... the Great Brassican hypotheses.
Is this one of Taraz's ideas?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, that was his idea for the final quest series, or quest in this quest series. But I honestly think that this, after this quest, Zaros is the way that this is all going to come together. And we're going to see Sliske as a pawn in this. And I think at the very end of that quest, we might see him, you know, just killed and, you know, turned into his equivalent of a pile of ashes at his Imperial Citadel. In Zaros' attempt to become an Elder God. And we do know also that Jagex wants to focus on the Elder Gods in 2017. So I think that is more evidence to the case that that's who that is.
All right.
And I think for that, I think that this book and this cutscene is ultimately what builds this quest. What do you guys think?
It definitely sets the war stage. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's another entire quest going on here as well. You know why Linza disappeared? Well, I mean, you guys do, obviously. But what ultimately happened in this quest is that it's found out that Linza didn't exactly discover how to make dragon weapons and equipment. She stole the technique from the Dragonkin, and she had to get Sliske to protect her.
Yeah.
So that's why she disappeared in this quest, and that is ultimately what happens to Linza at the end of the quest, is she effectively betrays Sliske, and she is turned into the Barrow's sister.
Does she betray him?
Well, I think that's kind of what it was. It wasn't necessarily a full betrayal, but she didn't exactly fulfill what she was supposed to for him.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyways, she is turned into a white, and that is how we get a Barrow sister. So obviously Linza is not related to the Barrow's brothers, so it's not the Barrow's Brady Bunch, Dave, as I know you wanted it to be.
Darn.
But at the end of the day, that is what happens to Linza and how we get a Barrow sister. We get Linza the... what's her adjective?
Disgrace.
Linza the Disgrace. Thank you. So, I don't know. What do you guys think was the bigger story out of this? Stealing from the Dragonkin and having that punishment bestowed upon her, or what was detailed in the books and the cutscene?
Definitely the cutscene and going on with Sliske. I think the whole Linza thing was just sort of a, I don't want to say teaser, but sort of an attention grabber. Everyone's like, oh, new bar, you know, new Barrows, da da da. And that was almost seemed like a just a little side thing because it really didn't focus much on that. It was like at the end, it's like, oh, okay, by the way, you're going to be part of, you know, the Barrows gang. Well, yeah. The entire quest and, was pretty much Sliske.
And, I mean, yeah, it had to be to get to that point and reveal why Linza was ultimately turned into a white. But I don't know. I don't know if this was the intended thing, but the books and the cutscene really just overshadowed everything else for me.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and I guess that's good because that keeps it on track for being a part of the series that is known as Sliske's Endgame.
Yeah.
So, and then basically after that, Sliske drains a bit of your soul.
Tries to.
But the question also was asked, does this have any problem or drawback to us later on about our ability to defend against god powers? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. And then at the end of the quest, after it's revealed what happens to Linza, we basically just need to run through a cavern and get out. And that is the end of the quest. So, it was shorter than I thought was going to be happening, but I think that it kind of just hit the spot right there, because I know you guys were both kind of surprised with no combat, right?
Yeah, I really was. I at least thought there would be some sort of boss fight. I mean, if anything, I was going into this knowing that, you know, we're getting a Barrow sister. I figured, okay, well, there's going to be some sort of, like, fight against her or something, you know, discovering that she exists and she was evil or possessed by Sliske. You know, in this case, of course, she kind of was in a backwards kind of way, but not to the fact of, you know, not to the degree that I really expected to where, you know, if we're getting an addition to, I guess, what you would call a boss fight in RS, I would have figured that, you know, there would have been, in fact, a boss fight. But, yeah, I mean, it was good. I think it made up for lack of combat with, you know, its lore-rich elements, like, as you know, as we said, with the books and all that, and really sort of setting the stage for the whole Sliske endgame. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, when I just want to clarify, when I said Linza deception, it's basically, or Linza, rather, betrayal, it's basically the fact that she was roped into this thing. Sliske was protecting her from the Dragonkin, but that betrayal of her is what ultimately led to her becoming a white, because she was supposed to keep up this charade going forward to get us all in to take a part of these games and have them executed. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I ultimately think that that's where we stop for this.
And what's even more interesting that just crossed my mind is the fact that we sort of went into this expecting it to be a lot more lore heavy on the Barrow's sister when it was really actually on Sliske. So, like, kind of the concept of the quest is almost like a, you know, a Sliske deal where it's like a deception where, you know, you're going in thinking it's going to be all about a Barrow sister when, in fact, it's really kind of, you know, has a separate arc that really overshadows the rest of it. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff playing into it. So I think that's kind of cool. I don't know if it's intentional, but it's definitely there, and I think it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so basically, once the quest is complete, you go talk to the guy at the Barrow's Mounds, get your reward, and then we're off to waiting until Fate of the Gods comes out later this year. So, Reed, what did you ultimately think of the progression of this quest and where it took us?
Well, I, like I said, I was, not expecting it to be as good as it was. Like, coming from that Meg crap.
Do you think that this quest was essentially one of the, could have been ultimately like Hero's Welcome, where we were promised a Fremenic quest but got a Dragonkin quest instead? except this time we were promised a quest about the Barrows family, and we got one about Sliske's ulterior motive instead.
I mean,
like, it's not the same level of deception, but it's definitely there.
I mean, it's...
No? Okay.
All right. I mean, it's what we were promised. We knew it was going to be a Sliske quest.
Yeah, that's true.
I
guess
think anyone thought
like...
it was going to just be Barrows.
Yeah.
Can't have Barrows without Sliske, right?
That's right, because he created all of them. Very good point. All right, then. So I guess wrapping this up, then, rewards for this quest were actually, I think, pretty decent. One quest point and a bunch of experience, 25,000 XP in herb lore, crafting, smithing, and agility. And you get those in lamp forms. And you also get the ability to fight Linza in the Barrows, which shares a tomb with Aram. And it should also be noted that Linza's Barrows White has 150,000 life points.
Hmm.
Yes.
Really? And yeah. How much do the others have?
15,000.
So you think that's a typo, or...?
No, it's actually real. I went to go there and fight it.
So I wonder how often she's going to get skipped as Akrisay is.
Well, I mean... I honestly don't think there's any reason to skip this one. There's no, you know, unique mechanics to it, assuming you're doing it on regular mode and not hard mode, because, I mean, it's just basically a melee-based fight, and if you use magic and keep the target at a distance, you'll be fine. So,
yeah.
I'm not too worried about it, but there's, of course, being a new Barrows creature, it also drops a set of melee armor, which is basically Linza's set. And if we want to know what this does, basically it is a set of armor that can reflect damage.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess that's there. And another interesting part about this is it's level 80 equipment, not level 75, and it can be augmented with invention. Hmm. So there's another reason to use it right there. So it'll be interesting to see what these are going for on the exchange once people start getting them. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'll go fight these or attempt to get them, but maybe. We'll just have to wait and see on that. So. Overall, what did you guys think of the quest?
I think it was good. I don't think it was groundbreaking or, you know, overly stellar, but I think it was pretty solid, given what we were sort of promised, I guess. Or, you know, we were sort of told what was going to happen. You know, it happened, regardless if you didn't like the way it happened, but it was definitely there. It was solid. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good release.
All right. How about you, Reed?
4 out of 5.
All right.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 as well.
Yeah, that seems to be a good ranking for this one. That's
yeah,
what I was going to
give it
go
4.5, actually.
Ooh, right on.
That 0.5 makes all the difference.
It really does.
I mean, it was good. It was funny. I laughed.
Yep.
Yeah, there was some nice humor in there.
Does it change your opinion of Sliske as a character at all?
Not necessarily. I mean, we kind of know that's
everything
the way he
to
is.
Be pretty
in line.
Pretty typical Sliske, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he annoyed you at throughout the previous quests. So does that change at all? Yeah, I thought you found him annoying.
I don't recall that exactly.
All right,
but I guess so.
Now,
I just think he's... Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I guess.
So
he's still irritating.
How would this one stack up to Nomad's Elegy and River of Blood?
Oh, no, those were much better.
Interesting, because the two people that we have had on for quest weeks before, Colton and Sirion, both said that this quest was better than River of Blood.
God, you just don't have anyone to replace me, do you? They're just so wrong in their opinions. Like,
Yeah, I will have to disagree even... with that. I mean, it just, it's, this quest just seemed like very short. I mean.
Yeah, like it was nowhere near as.
Just out of sheer length.
This was better than both of those?
Yep.
I mean, coming from a lore perspective, I mean, I guess I'm sort of looking at it differently, but yeah, I mean.
No, like, even from a lore perspective, no. This one, I mean, it was neat that we learned more about Sliske, but.
But it just doesn't compete then.
No, this one is much better, and they are wrong in their opinions. They're free to have their opinions.
No. They thought that this one was better than River of Blood.
I know, and their opinion, they're free to have, is still wrong.
Oh, okay.
So they have the right to be wrong.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to say I enjoyed River of Blood more so than this quest, though I think that the magnitude of the information we gained from Kindred Spirits was definitely more so than River of Blood or Nomad's Elegy. So I will say that's more impactful, but I think those other two were better quests.
Yeah.
So.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't know. It was the kind of quest that would send a chill down your spine when you read what you read. At least that's what happened for me when I read the books. So. We already talked about the rewards. Linza's Barrow set basically reflects some damage. So, and augmentable. So that is the quest and the rewards for Kindred Spirits. Anything else about Kindred Spirits before we move on?
Nope. I think that pretty much covers it on my end.
Yeah,
at least.
Good.
Okay. And the only thing I will say about this quest that I think they should have done that they didn't do is that they should have offered an early bird XP bonus, where if you do the quest in the first 2 weeks after release and you use the NXT game client, you get some more XP for it. Because I think that the entire area where this quest took place really benefited well from the NXT client. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you just go to the barrows.
Like if you're not using it, why are you not using it?
Yeah, the only reason you should not be using NXT is if your computer can literally not handle it.
Doesn't it run better than Java anyway, though?
Well, I mean, on integrated graphics chips from 4 or 5 years ago, Java still runs better. At
get a computer
poor quality.
From this decade.
Yeah, everyone really should do that. So...
from this millennium.
Well, that would work, I guess, from this millennium. So
that's the joke.
Alrighty. So also this week we have the Void Knight Outpost rework. Interesting little set of changes to the Void Knight Outpost, pest control and conquest there. Looks really nice. I don't know if you guys had a chance to go check it out, but lots of environment effects there shown off with NXT.
I did. It was very good.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
it's always nice to see them update the areas.
Yeah, raining too. I mean, I don't think we've seen rain anywhere else in RS, have we?
No, we have not. Well, I mean, we've seen snow. You know,
on Trolley's Mountain.
Yeah, I think their snow is done shittily though.
Yeah, I mean, the concept is there, but I don't think we've actually objectively seen rain, so it's definitely a welcome change.
Yeah, and of course, you can really see all the new lighting effects and whatnot, because it's dark and it's got torches there as well, so you can see modern bloom lighting, ambient occlusion. Oh yeah, best place to test out new graphic settings, I think. So... and of course, if you guys are interested in seeing this, you can of course look to the RSBNB update YouTube version of this. We should have some footage on there of the Void Knight's outpost about how that looks on the YouTube version of this podcast at youtube.com/RSBNBstaff.
Nice plug.
Thank you. All right. So graphic reworks aside, we also have some stuff in the patch notes this week. Players with the 15-year emote unlocked can now perform the 2008 variant. So what happened in 2008, everyone?
That was the
Well, I'm not necessarily asking you what happens on the emote. What stands out for you as RuneScape 2008?
Obama got elected. That happens.
Was that GE? Oh,
what?
Wait. What? Was that the GE?
No, that was 07.
Oh,
but
okay.
I guess there was a general election in 2008. Because you said GE?
Oh my gosh.
No.
Lehman Brothers went bankrupt.
Okay, I realize that this is not a history update, but RuneScape-wise, we did have...
There's a lot of stuff in Somalia.
Okay. Okay, I'll just
Fidel
say...
stood down.
Really?
I think.
About what? Was she running some kind of arms embargo or war that she had to stand? Adele, you said.
I said Fidel Castro.
Oh, I heard Adele. What did you hear, Dave? Fidel or Adele?
I am going to be completely honest. I didn't hear anything. I don't know what you were talking about. I didn't know what he was talking about.
I'm just going through... I'm just going through, like, the top stories
okay.
of 2008.
Well, RuneScape-wise, 2008 saw the release of Well Gothic Sleeps, Tormented Demons, The Stone of Jazz, Claws, and Summoning, all of which are greatly summarized in this little 2008 emote. So you have a Tormented Demon, gets run over by the Stone of Jazz, the Claws appear, you kill some stuff, and you're given a Summoning Charm, and then the Summoning Druid runs away after giving you the charm, and you have a summoning obelisk. So that kind of summarizes RuneScape 2008. You guys believe it's been 8 years?
Eight years.
Yes, I couldn't do math there for a moment since Well Gothic Sleeps and Summoning.
I cannot.
That's quite a. It seemed like a long time ago, but it didn't seem 8 years.
That long ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have that emote, you can now play it, cycle through them. And I mean, we're only halfway through the year. We're on 08, so lots more interesting stuff to come as we move throughout the year.
Yep, yep.
The Mining Accumulator, Book Switcher, Mechanized Chinchampa, and Woodcutting Accumulator are no longer locked behind their old invention level requirements.
Hmm.
Now, obviously, we didn't test that last week, but that's good to know, because those other ones were really high up there. Various fixes have been made for compatibility issues with MSI Afterburner and Riva Tuner statistics servers, such as objects disappearing, SSAO and HBAO being broken, shadows not appearing, and very low frame rates. So that's very interesting for the NXT crowd. And Reed, I was wondering if this might be at all related to the issues you were having with NXT frame rates, because weren't you running the Riva Tuner statistics server?
I only did that... after, those aren't normally running. I use those for diagnostics, like if I'm having
an
issue with something. But I did open those up afterwards just to see what was going on. Actually, I think I was just using GPU-Z to figure all of that out. So, but no, that's not related.
All right, fair enough then. GPU-Z?
Again... wrong.
Oh, I'm north of the border. I'm allowed to say things how I want.
You can still be wrong.
And this is what I have to put up with every week, even though Reed is not on the show as normal.
You miss me.
Yeah, we do. And I'm sure the listeners do as well, but they can be happy.
Aww.
They can be happy knowing that that you still push me around a bit.
I keep him in line.
Yeah, and that's the number one thing he told the new co-host of the year to do.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I think my exact words were, don't take any shit.
Ah, there you go.
But that sounds about right.
Fixes to stop crashes when changing detail options on Macs have been made. Excellent. Inventory and bank icons have been adjusted to more closely match the Java originals.
That's nice. I like that.
Okay. You like that?
Well, a lot of them I didn't have a problem with, but there were some that were very, very different. For example, a lot of the divination stuff seemed very, a little bit too transparent and sort of indistinguishable.
Didn't I comment on that?
Yeah, you did.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of like the way the new ones look, but I guess maintaining consistency between the clients is important.
Yeah.
Spiders can no longer spawn or walk underneath Araxi. Anyone who kills Araxor out there will be happy about this, because this basically means that if the spider walks underneath Araxor, there's a chance that your character will follow it. And, of course, if you walk under Araxor, you get clawed to death and die.
Yeah.
Rip.
Not a fun time.
Added the ability to save two new interface layouts to My Custom 3 and My Custom 4, respectively.
Oh, God.
And existing layouts saved for My Custom 1 and 2 are unaffected by this change. So finally,
that's good.
Yeah, almost 3 years after NXT or the new interface system comes out, we get some more custom interface slots, which is a welcome change.
Has it been 3 years?
Well, almost. Yeah, summer 2013.
Jeez.
World event RS3.
Yeah.
Stop. I want to think about that.
Okay. Anything else for you guys on the patch notes?
Nope.
I got nothing.
Yeah, they were fairly sparse this week.
Yeah.
All right. And as we were discussing earlier, I think in the pre-show, Treasure Hunter this week has the Lava Lanterns, which are relatively benign compared to previous Treasure Hunter updates in the last month or so.
I'd like to say I hope they're learning their lesson, but I think they just ran out of ideas to milk it. So we'll see what comes next week. But yeah, it's definitely a welcome, I guess,
change.
Calm in the storm, if you want to call it. But yeah, it's the less of the, I would say, evils we've seen in the past month. So.
Right. Yeah, basically these lamps offer 75% of the equivalent XP of a standard lamp, but then also add the same amount of bonus XP. So you get standard XP and bonus XP from these lava lamps. Oh, lava lanterns. You guys remember lava lanterns or lava lamps from...
Yeah.
Yeah. Those used to be a common thing, right?
1970s.
Yeah.
1970s. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they made a they made a resurgence in the '90s.
Did they?
I think they did.
Well, you're not really up on trends, are you?
Oh, I think I am.
Really? You said Kesha was a reggae artist. I'm not even kidding.
Well, musical stuff aside.
I'd listen to her if she was, just out of the pure curiosity of what that would sound like.
So I obviously, Dave, you found that funny, but...
Come on, that's hilariously wrong.
Well, I don't know. I'm not familiar.
You sounded so confident.
Well, based on what you were sampling, it was. And for anyone wondering where this comes from...
You played Timber for him.
Oh, well.
Do you even know a reggae artist, Shane?
Whitney Houston?
I don't think that's right. I'll check on that. That's R&B, pop, soul, and gospel.
Oh.
So, no, but I will say that is...
That's close.
A little closer.
Closer than Kesha. I don't want to say it's close, Kesha. But relatively closer than your previous.
All right, well, I'll get this show back on track now. If anyone has any questions about musical stuff, Dave is a perfect person to ask about that, because he did run his own band at Once Upon a Time and composed the music for this show. But
indeed.
Nice plug.
Also this week, RuneScape Legends Chronicle also launches on Steam. So you can play it for free on Steam. It includes Steam achievements and a new ranking system as well. So if you have not tried Chronicle yet or you're wanting to just get the Steam achievements, you can download it for free on Steam. And they say, when will the game be brought to mobile devices? They say, we are planning to bring the game to mobile devices later in the year. Stay tuned to the official Chronicle website and Facebook page for all the latest news. Follow us on Twitter and on YouTube for even more content and ways to interact. So it is going to be coming later this year. And I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I haven't really done anything with Chronicle since it left closed beta. I don't know about you, Dave.
No, I have not. I literally have not.
Ever.
Yeah. I played it like three or four matches enough to write up the article, or the review, rather. And I really haven't opened it since, so.
I've never done anything with it, ever.
Yeah, it's kind of a tame card game, so. But anyways, that's it for RuneScape stuff this week. I don't believe there's anything else. We're going to move right on to the questions. Reggae artist aside. Alrighty, so our first one is from Wiley. And he says, how did you settle upon your preferred combat style? I use Defenders for a sustained, focused build because cabbages don't heal me enough in combat.
Fair enough.
I just use dual-wielding ports weapons, except for ranged, because they give me the most DPS out of any of the potential setups that I have. And I don't PVM, so of course port stuff is more than enough for Slayer. So I just use basically dual wielding because it gives me the most DPS, and that is what you have to be concerned about when you're dealing with Slayer.
Yep, yep.
And I mean, I could say that I prefer to focus on magic and whatnot these days, but I honestly think that if you just try and focus on a specific combat type, unless you're chasing a level in that combat skill, then you kind of are handicapping yourself because so many creatures in game are only weak to certain types of combat, which you don't really want to try and break out of the combat triangle here.
Right, right. Yeah, for mine, going outside of RuneScape, just for a little bit of background, I would normally always, and I usually always, play some sort of a caster mage class. However, I think my favorite style in RS is range, purely for the sake of, obviously, range, being able to have a little bit more versatility and not exactly being bound, you know, right up next to the monster because, you know, if given its attack style, it gives you a little bit more survivability, mobility. But the reason I don't really like mage as much, I guess, as range is the fact of mage in RuneScape, for those of you that don't play too many other MMOs or RPGs, is very different in RuneScape for, well, basically because obviously you buy runes, okay? You buy your resource rather than in most other games you just have a like a mana pool like you do a health bar. So in other games it's a lot cheaper to do that. And one can argue, you know, depending on what ammo you use for range, it can also be expensive. But, you know, back in the day, I wasn't really crunching numbers so much, and I just sort of kind of drifted towards range. So that's kind of where I get my favorite style. And then I'm with Shane as well. All my weapons, well, I lied. My mage weapons are ports. I usually stick with my ports armor. And then I have, you know, two Ascension crossbows, and I have two Dragor maces. I don't PVM really at all. It's all Slayer, so again, I try to stick with the dual wielding as well for that, you know, little bit of extra DPS, but that's sort of my rundown on my combat style, so.
Alrighty, how about you, Reed?
I just use whatever, really. I mean, I guess melee. I mean, my highest is 98 magic, but I also like teleport everywhere instead of using lodestones, and that adds up over 14 years or whatever. So,
So you basically do the same thing I do, that if a combat creature necessitates melee, use melee. Otherwise, you could use magic or you could use ranged. It all depends on what the creature is, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, and dual wielding for you?
It really depends on what I've got. I think I dual wield with mage, Evisceridum and Godsword that I still use for melee, and dual wield for range.
All right. And for just a bit of history out there, when the Evolution of Combat was first released, we were told that dual wielding would be the focus of DPS, while two-handers would be the focus of area of effect damage, and we can see how much area of effect damage is really out there in today's game. Not that much.
None? Okay.
It's very weak.
Did I miss something?
No. But, anyways, thank you for that question, Wily. But yeah, we got a good smattering across the board, and it appears as though that you are our lone defender user. All right. You want to read the next one from Trekkie?
I'll read the last one.
All righty. This means that one's for you, Dave.
Okay. Hi, host. You are now part of Jagex Content Crew. You have been given the honor of creating up to 3 NPCs of your choice. But, besides being a parody, they must be the complete opposite of your character. I.e., Indiana Jones becomes Indiana Bones, who, besides being an archaeologist, gather ancient bones to make his stew. Or Han Solo becomes Hans Soko, a law enforcement officer of the law, not a bounty hunter. Have fun. P.S. Happy Memorial Day for U.S. listeners.
So, the question here is that we would just create a character that's the opposite of us. So, I mean, I guess Shane1288, the master farmer.
No, Shane, no. You create a character that's a parody of someone, like Indiana Jones. But, yeah, no.
All right, so who are we going to parody then?
All right, I'm going to parody Shane.
Oh,
His name is Shan. Incredibly liberal. Loves Kesha.
But you got to put this into game.
Is very musical. And has a reggae style.
Very musically inclined.
Very musically inclined. What else?
Very devout in his religious endeavors.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely cannot stand Star Trek whatsoever.
He
cringes at the reference. He actually goes into...
Like, he goes to that the guy on Entrana and, like, literally murders him in the introduction quest. What else?
You wouldn't put your Colonel Sanderson bot in game?
Yeah, that would be my second character. For those of you who don't know, I made a mod for Fallout New Vegas featuring Shane, fully voiced. And it has such features as a gun. Well, no, the gun he wields...
Remember, this is PG rated.
All right, the names! Yeah, if you want the names, you gotta download it. But if... Just search, like, Colonel Sanderson on the Nexus, or send me a PM on the forums at forums.rsbnb.com. And his weapons have, like, an average deviation of... I think it was 15 or 20 degrees, so you shoot straight forward. It can go... up to 30 degrees in another direction. And this is because we have played Team Fortress 2 with Shane and see his wonderful aiming skills. So. You can hear the look he's giving us, can't you?
It's deafening.
Mm-hmm. Your turn, Shane.
Oh, boy. Okay. So if I had to create characters that I could parody, am I parodying pop culture stuff already in RuneScape?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I'm trying to scramble with something here.
All right. I would want to create a parody and perhaps an alternative character to the wise old man. Perhaps a character that is...
A young female party goer?
Yeah, there you go. That works. Kind of the opposite of the wise old man. Ay, ay, ay. What have I walked into?
Oh, boy.
RSVNB update.
Okay, so it would be a young character, perhaps female, that has no interest in adventuring whatsoever and has basically no interest in doing anything in this world of Gilanor that she is put into, but obviously because of characteristics or rather circumstances outside of her control, she has to take up arms and do a quest. Oh, wait, did I just describe Meg?
Oh my gosh. I think that's what, yeah, that's what we've got a Meg on our hands.
Good job, Shane.
Yes. Unfortunately. Okay. I'll do one more since you did two. And my second one would probably have to be, I don't know. I think that if we are going to be creating other characters, you could probably say, what if we created something out of the Star Trek universe and put them in? Like an alternative version of the Doctor from Voyager. So rather than being a doctor who is trying to help people, you have this doctor that's put inside a quest and he experiments on people and does all sorts of nasty things to them.
All right.
There we go. That's my creativity
so,
expired
Lord
for the
Dragon.
Week. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that works, but I was thinking maybe having its own quest line. But anyways, I'll let Dave go now since my creativity has expired.
Oh, yeah. My creativity isn't flowing too well tonight either. I'm trying to think. Just kind of grabbing at straws here. Maybe something with Aubrey, the rune shop guy. I think it might be funny to have him. I don't know what he would be called, but it would be interesting to have him sort of be like one of the muggers down in the slums there. And he, like every 30 seconds or so, he opens and closes a door to like prevent people from running in or something. I don't know. That's really...
That's great.
something of that nature.
What if he created an alternate universe where the ZMI Altar and Runespan were never created?
See, that would be good. He actually blocks the teleports. And, for the new players that go into to mine, to go to the Rune Essence Mine, he comes by and he'll just teleport random people out. And then they'll teleport them to the bank. Well, no, that wouldn't work because if they teleport them to the bank, that would actually be helping them. But yeah, it's some sort of opposite arc.
Deep level wilderness.
Yeah, there you go. And just sort of, fighting the Runespan or ZMI or something to that nature to alter the runecrafting arc because I'm still sort of bitter about that.
But. Salty.
Just a little bit salty. But yeah, that's all I can really pull right now. But yeah, I agree with some of Reed's things with yours that being devoutly religious and all the Star Trek stuff. So I'll claim half of that as part of mine, and we'll move forward. But I won't get Sliske to protect me from Reed because I don't think that'll work.
Why would he ever want to hurt you?
Because I stole stuff. I stole stuff from him.
Oh, right.
Did he?
The idea.
Yeah, I stole the idea. Instead of like stealing the idea for buying dragon weapons and then getting Sliske to protect...
I think that's a little different though there, bud.
I don't know.
I guess.
Anyway.
I guess she'll find out.
Right.
All right, last question is from Colton. Take it away.
Where's that tab? There it is. Hello, hosties. Glad to see Reed is still alive. Yep, that's me. First, who or what do you believe is the mysterious figure we revealed to be in cahoots with Sliske, acting as the behind-the-scenes man? My vote rhymes with Waros. secondly, do you think Sliske will live through this storyline? Thirdly, another prediction, which signature hero will die next? And lastly, which brand of lip moisturizing product do you prefer? Love, Colton. I love how I put the love in there, because he knew I was going to add it. If he didn't say that.
Well, as you know, my vote is also Zaros, so we kind of already detailed this beforehand, but let's just get it on the record here. Who are you guys going with?
I mean, you make a good point with Zaros.
Yeah,
I didn't think of the whole, because I too assumed, you know, Elder God being, you know, top of the top, you know, controlling the Stone of Jazz. I can't really, my opinion doesn't hold too much weight, obviously, since I'm not as much of a lorehound as my peers. But yeah, I mean, you did prove quite a good point with Zero, so I think I'll have to sort of sway my opinion with that, because it definitely makes a lot more sense. So,
yeah.
All right, so we all kind of are in the same boat there. Because I don't know who else it could be. I mean, yeah. Wise Old Man, maybe?
That would be funny.
Nah.
He'd have to come out of retirement.
It'd be funny if it was us.
And perform an encore.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking at first.
Oh, it could be.
Just us in the future. But that gets into time mechanics. And that's a very, very poor writing device.
Yeah, and Maud Raven basically... Coward in Fear when time travel was mentioned at last year's RuneFest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a good way?
He was like, no, 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 no. We'll never be using that key again. It's very bad.
Okay.
So time travel won't be happening.
Praise be.
Do we think Sliske will live? I say no.
Probably. You can't just kill well, I guess they can just write in a new villain, but they're going to keep this storyline going as long as they can.
No, it's done in two more quests.
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, you may think it's over, but they'll extend it at some point.
All right, so you say no. How about you, Dave?
Just like Xanath was supposed to be dead.
Yeah, I think they will, but they could very well be... you know, building it up for that sort of, you know, curveball or plot twist. You know, they're pretty much devoting a whole year, you know, to developing this storyline out. I think it would be kind of silly unless they really do it in a profound way, you know, removing him. I think there's going to be something significant happen. I can't for sure say that death will be one of them. If it is, it might be sort of a faux death to where, you know, it acts like he dies, and at the end there's like a little cliffhanger. It's like, oh, well, after all this, you know, all is well, but, you know, you never had confirmation that he was actually fully dead or, you know, something like that.
I don't think he'll die in any case. Like, that's too easy.
All right. Maybe he'll just be vegetated.
Perhaps.
Who's going to die? Which... signature hero. Hopefully the Raptor, because I don't like that guy.
All right. How about you, Dave?
Hopefully Meg. I think you stand.
Meg
with
is
me
not
on
a
one.
Signature
she
hero.
She is okay. I was about to say.
No. I'm not really sure. never really been a fan of the whole Ozan Ariane clan, just because they tried to like sort of rebrand the entry-level game. I don't know if even that's a signature hero. I've always kind of had a problem with them because it was, you know, it was just this really very you know, inorganic, so cliche sort of, you know, three heroes are going to go, you know, RuneScape has really never been about that. It's, you know, sort of been about, you know, you, the player, being the hero, you know, and they're sort of, they're writing too many sort of like cheesy intro stuff that really made it seem like a lot more of a kid's game, I guess you could say. But yeah, I've never really been a fan of that whole thing. The whole Ashdale, and they're just really, that was a point in, you know, their development arc that I felt like they were really trying to grab at straws to do stuff. So, that, you know, that was back when they redid like half the, they rebooted half the like free quests, and they had these signature heroes, and it was just like, ugh, not a fan. So it's very, very, very unlikely they're ever going to die. But, you know, if I had to choose.
That All would, right.
Yeah.
I like how Colton weaved this into his questions, because I was actually discussing this with him yesterday, so I'm glad you brought it onto the show, Colton. I'd actually forgot about it. I actually think that all the signature heroes are going to end up dead at the end of the day, at the end of this quest line, except perhaps Sir Tiffy.
He's a signature hero?
Or, I'm sorry, I mean Sir Owen.
He's already dead, isn't he?
No.
I swear to God he died.
No. No.
Sir Owen.
No, Sir Owen is not dead. The only one who was dead previously was Xenia.
Death.
Really?
Ha. He died in the death of chivalry, Shane.
Oops.
Learn the lore.
Whoops-a-daisy. Thank you for correcting that. All right. Well, then I stand corrected. I think the only one who's going to come out of this alive will be Arianne. I can see Ozan dying quite easily in this quest because, once again, he is related to combat. And then the raptor is also related to combat. So I can see these dying in some kind of battle, whether it be at the end of the Sliske series or perhaps the Elder God series.
Oh, my bad. He did die, but now he's, like, undead. So...
That doesn't really count, though.
Yeah.
So he's dead.
He's dead, yes. He did die, and he's, like, corrupted.
Yeah, okay, maybe that's why I thought he was alive.
By Ceridoman, so yeah. He's kind of alive, yeah. I guess.
And, like I said, I can see both Ozan and the raptor dying, because they're combat-related. Arianne is basically the underpinnings of the entire magic skill, runecrafting, and the wizard's tower. So
Wait,
I do not.
Didn't she die?
No, she's still alive. Xenia died. Xenia died. Arianne is alive.
Oh, she almost died.
Yeah, almost. Almost. But.
Okay.
So.
I just want all these people dead.
Yeah, and I think that what they initially had intended to do with the signature heroes was create a quest arc around them, but that never happened. And obviously, the game went a different path with the gods and whatnot, which is, you know, to be understandable, because that's so much bigger and grander. So I think that eventually all these people will end up dead, with perhaps the exception of Arianne. So.
Hooray!
But yeah, I'm going to go with the raptor and Ozan. And I do not use lip moisturizing products, so I will leave this one to you too.
I do not as well, so.
In the rare occasion... Hello?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my computer was making strange noises. In the rare occasion that I do need to, Burt's Bees...
Interesting. Never heard of that brand.
Yeah, come to the South. It's everywhere.
All right. Is it made with actual beeswax?
Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing.
Oh, right on then. All righty. Well, thank you, Colton. Sorry that none of us use lip-enhancing gear, but or lip-enhancing moisturizers.
Lip-enhancing?
Well, lip moisturizing. Product
or... enhancing is the correct word, Shane.
Well, it enhances your experience.
Okay.
Because it makes your lips smoother and less dry.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, perfect. Well, that's it for questions, everyone. So if you want to send questions in like these fine individuals did, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. call or text to 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632. Or you can DM us on Twitter at RSBNB.
Nice plug.
Thank you. All right, so moving into tech news this week, we have Project Abacus from Google, which is Google's plan to bring password-free logins to Android apps and the operating system by the end of the year. This will take into account a number of patterns, including typing patterns, walking patterns, your current location, and more. It'll be available to developers by year's end, assuming all goes well in testing. This was announced at Google I.O. last Friday, and the idea behind this is that they want to get people off of passwords and passcodes and just use patterns to track things down. So, for example, right now, Android phones can unlock automatically if you're at home on your trusted Wi-Fi network, for example. So the idea would be extending this so that they know who you are by based on how you type on your keyboard, maybe where you are, your voice pattern, the way you speak, facial recognition as well. So what do you guys think of this? Do you think this is a smart move to get rid of passwords and passcodes?
I think there's an exception to everything, and they need to be wary about that. Same with the whole, and maybe this is completely different, but you know, the whole fingerprint thing, you know, entry. It was like, oh, you know, it's so secure or whatever. I mean, yes, but I mean, there's, you know, there's nothing perfect, especially with security. You know, you can only go so far. So it's interesting. I think they're in the right direction, but I mean, as I said, with any sort of security, proper precaution needs to be taken for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of the same thing as Facebook saying they can give you good recommendations on products because they know what pages you like. So this is kind of the same thing about knowing when you're secure based on who you are and what you do, except on your mobile platform. So it's going to be interesting to see if this works, but I don't know if industries that need to be secure are ready to abandon a password and passcode, because you basically enter those once and off you go. So I don't know. Reed, would you abandon all this stuff? No? Okay. What does the land of Windows Phone use to unlock devices?
You can use Windows Hello on, I think, the Lumia 950 XL or whatever, and that's just facial recognition. I'm wary of that, but my phone can't do that anyway, but apparently it does something with the iris or something. I don't know how it works. Magic. But yeah, I don't like it.
That's how you can describe any sufficiently advanced technology is as magic. Yeah. But I don't know. It's definitely going to be interesting to see if they can do this, because then they can apply it to their Google accounts and whatnot. So we'll definitely be watching this. And if you're an Android user out there, let us know what you think about this, because none of us here are Android users.
Correct.
All right. Next piece of tech news relates to Twitter relaxing its 140 character rule. They're going to be dropping out of the required or the maximum character limitation. Photos, GIFs, videos, polls, and usernames are going to not be counted anymore towards the 140 character limit. So.
Neat.
Yeah, so it means that you don't need to handicap yourself grammatically if you're trying to send at messages to people and whatnot.
Good.
I also saw something that was previously unconfirmed, that they're also going to stop counting links, which is kind of worrying, because you could potentially have a tweet that's just full of links if they're not counting about that. So we'll have to see if that one happens. But this is going to happen in the next few weeks once the third-party applications manage to update themselves to this new paradigm. They also want people to stop using the dot at sign convention, allowing replies to get seen by people. They say, don't do that. When you get a reply that's good, just retweet it. So, interesting to see that this is stuff that Twitter is pressing on about when the company is still losing money and is not growing. So if this is all they can do, or at least the very beginning of it, I don't know what that spells for the company. Surely they can come up with something more substantive, but what? I don't know.
Right.
Is that a clock?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Kind of old-fashioned.
Yeah, I've never known a clock to go off on the quarter of an hour before.
Yeah, well, it
like
goes
literally
off on
every clock. Have you ever had a grandfather clock or been near one or been near a bell tower? Literally, all of them do that
on the quarter.
Yeah, every 15 minutes.
The way you said that,
literally every one of them.
I did not know that, but anyways.
Wow, you think Kesha's a reggae artist and you don't know how clocks work. Woo!
Ay, ay, ay. All right. So, what would you guys like to see from Twitter aside from this link thing?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Something that could also be as dangerous as, links being removed from the character count is having, like, usernames when you're replying. But then again, that would just create spam and you could just have,
Yeah, they are removing usernames from the character count.
Are they?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's interesting. So hopefully we don't have, tweets with 100, mentions and then posting some spam link. But I don't know. I feel like that could be dangerous too. I mean, I think within limit, do you know how they're implementing this?
No.
Okay.
And that's why I said, I mean, is this all Twitter can come up with to try and reinvent themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I honestly think that they need to...
I mean, that's a pretty significant reinvention.
I don't know. I think that they got to get rid of the 140 character limit, and what they need to become is they just need to become, a publishing platform that lets people publish links and maybe write short stories up to 2,000 characters long, and then I think that might be something that's interesting. Because if you think about it, I wonder how many people actually use Twitter today via SMS.
Right.
So...
And, still have it like the small sort of like preview pane where it's like, two lines. And then when you click to expand it, you can view the page or whatever.
Yeah. Because what I want is I want a platform where I can follow, websites and whatnot. And then when they put out an interesting photo or a news posting, I can press the quote button and then, write, a paragraph or two about that kind of thing. I think that would be an interesting thing to see, and potentially that's a good way that they can go. I'm not aware of anything that allows you to do that. So, maybe. But, anyways, final piece of tech news relates to Microsoft, quote-unquote, giving up on consumer smartphones. Now, this is kind of misleading, isn't it? Based on its title. Yeah. But before you take off on this, we'll just say that they are selling their Nokia business that they purchased.
I mean, that was the plan.
Yeah.
But from the beginning, it just this happens every quarter. Windows Phone is dying. But it's not. Like, there's a reason they unified the OS.
Yeah, exactly.
So it shares a common code base, so it's not like they have to build a new operating system for it.
Yeah, and I mean, they can just basically deploy Windows to whoever wants it on their phone.
They just need like a small team to put out updates. Like, I don't know what...
Yeah, because obviously
they're merging them with the Surface team too, because they're coming out with the Surface phone.
That would be very interesting, I think.
Yes, and I will be buying that.
Because
is that coming up in January?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 2017, so we'll have to wait and see when. Probably April, I'd imagine. But I mean, they make it sound as though it's a complete doom and gloom because.
It sells, or it gets links.
Exactly. And I mean, Windows Phone has been the whipping boy of the smartphone ecosystem for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just doesn't make sense, some of these stories about this, because it is the, quote, feature phone business they bought from Nokia, which, if you have paid any attention to what's been going on, the feature phone business is the dumb phone business that they got from Nokia, right?
So, uh-huh.
I don't know.
They're getting away, or they're doing away with, like, the Lumia brand,
yeah.
too.
And I think that's good
because it'll do, I think, similar to what Apple does. Like, you don't get a Motorola X5100 iPhone. You get an Apple iPhone, right?
Yep.
So I think they're going to just have a Microsoft phone.
And to me, whatever. That signifies a controlled experience that is vetted by Microsoft and is guaranteed to provide something that is known to whoever purchases it. Because
exactly.
As it is right now, if you buy a Windows phone or you buy an Android device that's not from Google, you end up with a myriad of different release dates for the operating systems. In some cases, you don't even get them. So
yeah, like I almost got burned with the Windows 10 release. But with Windows Phone, not with my phone, because it's HTC and not a Lumia, so I almost didn't get the updates. I actually had to hack it so that I can continue receiving updates.
Right, and what normal person is going to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that is because of HTC. They have basically abandoned the 1M8 for Windows just because not a lot of people have it, so like they have to do testing to push it out, right?
Yeah, and that was a very important thing that people always used to cite as a reason why things didn't happen in the mobile world, because, oh, it needs to be so tight and, you know, released properly. Otherwise, no, you can't release that onto a cellular network.
Mm-hmm.
So still largely true, but I mean, Apple does quite well with its development team, and I'm sure Microsoft, if they wanted to, could, you know, really get the Windows Phone ecosystem going. And all you need to do, I think, is say, you know, become a Microsoft developer for a year and get a free phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's face it, Microsoft is a very rich company. They could practically give these devices away, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they've pretty much just tanked the whole hit from buying Nokia.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing that they are good at. They're good at, you know, taking a hit in the R&D and then coming back later. Case in point, both the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One didn't make money in their first year, but eventually started making money. So that's the kind of thing that Microsoft has to do. And ultimately, as you said, it comes down to the Windows unified platform, because you wouldn't create Windows 10 last year and put so much emphasis on Windows 10 and universal applications if you were going to abandon one of your core planks. Because you have...
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you have the desktop, you have the Xbox, you have the Surface, and you have the phone. Abandoning one of those just would not make sense when Windows 10 isn't even a year old. So I think that you're definitely right that the Windows Phone or Surface Phone or whatever it might be called is probably the way to go forward for Microsoft.
Yep, and I will be purchasing that whenever my contract is up or whenever it comes out, whichever comes first.
Yeah, and I think that would be a really...
Whenever I can get it.
Yeah, that'd be a really interesting thing to look at, I think, even for me. So,
because, I mean, I like my phone, but I'm not entirely comfortable with having it.
It doesn't feel real.
To registry hacking it to get, like, I mean, it thinks it's a Lumia 950 XL.
Right.
It's not. And I mean, everything has worked fine. But it still kind of makes me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, especially when it's a communication device.
Yeah.
So your phone identifies as a Lumia 950 then?
Yes, that is how it self-identifies.
Just like that Dragonkin identifies as a Scaly.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was a quality joke.
I agree. So ultimately, I just want to, you know, take this point and remind everyone that the Windows 10 update is still going on. You have until the end of July to pick that up. And if a unified platform shepherded by Microsoft with applications that can easily be compiled from iOS to Windows Phone once developers decide to, sounds like your thing.
Yeah, the Instagram app is ported from iOS, if I'm not mistaken, and it looks pretty great.
Because they abandoned the Android bridge, so it's pretty much just going to be iOS ports at this time.
Because Android apps look terrible.
Anyways.
Did you just vomit?
Yeah, I did. That's how I feel about Android applications and non-Google Android.
Get yourself cleaned up?
No, or... I'm good. But...
Okay.
I think we should be wrapping this story up and just remind everyone that Microsoft's unified platform is really great.
Wonderful.
And one of the reasons people ought to upgrade to Windows 10.
Yep.
You notice how he stops just short of telling people to get a Windows phone.
Because it hasn't come out yet. We'll see what happens next spring.
That's fair. That is like the greatest recommendation Shane can ever give to a Windows product.
Exactly. I am 100% behind Windows 10. I am rooting for it to become a much stronger device and platform than it is currently, mainly because I think Android is in shambles compared to what a unified, well-controlled ecosystem can provide, like provided by Apple and will hopefully be provided by Microsoft. So I think that the closed side of things needs some competition, and Android can go out there and do and be whatever it wants to be. So.
Yep.
All right. Let's do a Skill of the Month update, shall we?
We shall.
Okay, so the woodcutting skill of the month, Sorensen 57, is in first place with 19.6 million experience gained. It's going to be hard to catch him at this point. The RR Man is in second with 9.2 million, and Parnassius is in third with 6.3 million XP gained. So it looks like Sorensen 57 has this one in the bag. We'll have to see what happens going forward, but it should be good for the last week of the month or so.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd also like to note that the skill that has been chosen for June is crafting. So if you're looking to do some crafting in June and you want to compete with the rest of the RSBNB community, you can sign up at rsbnb.com/skotm. All you need is a forum account and sign up for our crafting skill of the month. All right, time for pick of the week. So
Overwatch.
Yes, so this is a pick of the week that is universally agreed on, so I'll let Reed explain it.
Why do I have to explain it?
Because, okay, I'll explain it. So the pick of the week is Overwatch. It's available for PC, Xbox, and PS4, but of course we recommend the PC version because that's what we all play. It's produced by Blizzard, and it is effectively, I would say, a more polished version of Team Fortress 2.
It's been described as a mix between Team Fortress 2 and Borderlands. I've never played Borderlands myself. I've been meaning to.
I would have to disagree. I mean, maybe some of the character design and graphics, gameplay, absolutely not. Borderlands is more of a shoot and loot rather than an arena game. But yeah, okay. I mean, yeah. It's definitely, but I can see there's some character models that kind of reflect the Borderlands universe. But yeah, I would say it's definitely a lot more like TF2 for sure.
Yeah, and
fast paced arena shooter, I guess you could call it.
And there's a character for everyone. If you like something that's slow paced, you can get that. If you want something that's fast-paced and adrenaline-filled, you can get that as well. There's also support characters, healing characters, defensive, offensive characters, the whole shebang. So it's really a
great game. I will also say this. This is the first multiplayer game that has been able to drag me away from Rocket League since... when did we get that? Christmas?
Yeah.
which is no small feat. We used to play Team Fortress 2, what, probably
3 to 5 times a week.
Nights a week.
Yep.
We've played it for like half an hour on Tuesdays in the PC gaming, and then you're like, can we go play Rocket League? So...
yeah, and if Borderlands drags away from Rocket League, which drags away from TF2, that's saying something.
Yeah, it's...
and I think we're all getting our favorite characters now, too, aren't we?
Yeah.
Who would you say yours is?
Mercy the Healer. I'm maining her right now, at least, because I'm good at healing, and by doing that, I can sort of control the flow of the game, and it also allows me to observe others. So I get it. I'm doing this. I haven't played any other characters, really. Like, literally, I looked at it earlier as like 10 hours Mercy, and then 10 minutes of another, and 3 of another. And that was it. I'm doing that until I get, like, the game sense down. Once I know what's going on, then I can try out other characters.
That's a pretty smart thing to do.
I like healing. Just in general.
Yeah. My primary character these days is Mei. It's a crowd control character.
It's literally the Pyro from TF2, except ice instead of fire. And it's just as irritating.
Yeah?
If not more so.
And I love the control aspect of it. That's something that you didn't really get with the Pyro in TF2. So, but I did find out today that she's an environmentalist.
Yeah, which is concerning to him.
Well, no, but, I mean, you, I don't know, you obviously found it hilarious. You described it as a waifu or something like that.
Yeah, it's Shane's waifu.
Which is not obviously true, but anyways.
It's not?
No. No.
No.
Anyways, the game is Overwatch. You can get it from Blizzard. $40 US.
There is also a $60 version. They tried to trick you into buying the $60 version. Don't do that. Unless you, like, you actually want it.
You just get skins, and I think you also get a Heroes
of
the Storm character.
You get a character in Heroes of the Storm, but those are cheaper than that. So
yeah, so $40 Blizzard, and if you, of course, want to play this with us or just hear more about it as we're playing it, we play it, and when we do that, we use the RSBNB Discord server, which you can join by clicking users in Discord at the bottom of the RSBNB forums homepage, rsbnb.com/forums.
A recent addition is a Shane soundboard.
Oh, God.
So you can play all of your favorite Shane sound effects. Such as no, and my dingle is too long. All of these said by our very own Shane.
All right. What have we been doing? What have you been up to this week, Dave?
Just the standard farming runs. I'm kind of on a little bit of a... I don't want to call it a hiatus, but I'm going to call it a hiatus from RS. Just doing the standard dailies, just kind of logging into the game, doing some stuff. I'm not really actively playing too much. Again, like I said, it's that time of the year. Pretty busy at work and stuff. And, you know, I've been playing some Overwatch. You know, other games are catching my attention right now. So that's kind of where it is. But I'm still trying to keep RS in the mix for sure. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
All righty. And you, Reed, you can say something other than RS if you want to. Or...
Well, after doing the podcast all year last year, I got a little burnt out towards the end. So I took like a 6-month break from RS. Still checking in occasionally, but mostly not playing at all. And I've started to get back into it. Although, I mean, I don't think I'll ever be back to the grinding skills days.
It's no, I think I've done that as well.
Yeah, I mean, most of my skills, or I think all of my skills except invention, are above 80 anyway, so I don't need to, like, for the quests.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, if I ever have to train divination again, I may literally murder someone, so... but I've been doing that, been more present, playing Overwatch, playing Rocket League, got done with school a few weeks ago, did well, starting my senior year next year.
Oh, fun.
So,
Alrighty, well,
That's all for me, though.
We appreciate the check-in. As for me this week on RuneScape, I got level 60 invention, and I would like to state that as of getting level 60, the only money that I have spent on this skill has been 300k GP on bowstrings. Everything else has been sourced from me. Hence why it took so long to get level 60. So, yeah. I mean, I guess you could count the... well, no, you can't count that, because I got money back from that. I put 1.7 mil again into the kingdom, but I made 2.6 mil when I took out of the kingdom, so obviously there's a net gain there. So, and all that kingdom stuff went to invention. So, yeah, I guess I'm still only down 300k from the bowstrings that I bought. So, invention training can be done on your own. It's just a matter of knowing where to look for the right equipment and items to augment, disassemble, and where to get your components. So, yeah. But aside from that, not much on RS, just woodcutting to get 60, and I might look into doing combat. We'll see about that. And right now I've got a bit of a little research thing going on, trying to figure out a way if I can bring Herblore and invention together by way of some components. It doesn't look like it at this point, but I need to spend some more time looking into that because I want to restart the track to 120 Herblore. But that's me for this week. So,
good deal.
I believe that's it for RSBNB update, unless there's anything else.
I think we pretty much nailed it.
Agreed.
All righty. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode of RSBNB update. And of course, thank you to Reed, Earth, for joining us once again for Quest Week. Always a pleasure. I'm sure the listeners will have been happy to hear from you again.
No.
And Dave, who is always here.
Good to be here.
Or another. All right. Well, we will see you guys in a few days, actually, because I am going to be doing some special coverage of the RuneScape Summer Summit this Saturday, so look out for that in the feed, because we do have to, of course, promote our prestige idea that's going to be on the survey, so we'll be talking about that as soon as it comes out, so watch for a special second show of RSBNB Update coming in a few days. And with that being said, thank you for sharing your time with us, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.